righty. All right, let's get going. So as you guys know, we're doing this series on biblical fellowship, and we're making this semester all about kind of how to pursue it, get some of the practicals going. And we talked about what's the difference between a biblical fellowship, what makes biblical fellowship different from normal or secular relationships, and we came up with that huge list a few weeks ago. But the center one that we want to focus on is that it's rooted in our relationship with Christ. And so it's all about being able to be deep and close enough that we actually see each other, get each other, and are able to influence things for each other. And if we're not doing that for others, we can't be seen and we can't see them. And so what winds up happening is that we miss out on sanctification, spiritual challenge, encouragement, help, being a witness, fulfilling our call. It becomes tougher. Lots and lots of things kind of spill out from that. So last week we talked about when to advise and when to listen. Tell me, what are some things that we got from last week? Go for it.
There was so much good stuff in my mind, but I just, when trying to apply it, there were times where I thought, why didn't you talk right then? Why didn't you listen more?
So she said, so much good stuff. So she said she got a lot of stuff from last time, but that she had trouble applying it. And so it's kind of like, why did I say this instead of just be quiet and things like that? You are now experiencing what almost every single therapist goes through in their first 2 years of practice. Waking up at 2 a.m. saying, why did I say that? Why did I say that? You know, and just kind of stuff like that. The good news is usually if you're making an attempt, the other person feels it. And because they feel it, they're feeling the connection. And typically it goes much better than we think it does. So it's kind of harder to screw this up. Any other things that we remember from last time? Difference between when to listen, when to give advice?
I think one of the things that I remembered was as you are listening to somebody, once they kind of get that sigh of relief and like it's like, okay, I got it out, then it's kind of time for most of them to advise.
Yeah, so one of the things that she got was that as you're listening to somebody, at some point they're going to let you know that they got it out, big sigh of relief, something along that line. Great time to start giving advice at that point. Anything else that we remember from last time? Those are some of the biggest ones.
Just paying attention to
people's
cues. Yeah. That, you know, even if they might be telling you a lot, they might still not want your advice.
Yeah. Yeah, so being willing to listen or pay attention to somebody's cues and be able to back off when you need to back off, step in when you see that you could step in, and that's often key. So one of the things that you guys asked for earlier that we were trying to set up with everything we're doing is how to ask better questions and how to ask what are typically known in our field as powerful questions. And so we thought tonight we would go through that. And one of the things that we want to think in terms of in order to set this up is what holds us back from asking more questions to each other. So what do you think holds us back from asking more questions to each other? Disinterest. That's a top one. Self-centeredness is another top one. Yes, sir. Yeah, you're being like, the person's like barely taking a breath between sentences, and it's hard to get in. What else? Not knowing what to ask. Yep.
Time.
Yeah, do we have enough time to initiate a conversation or to get it out?
Or enough time to be there when they're following through.
Yeah. I got to pick up my kids right now. Yeah, so do we have enough time to actually have the conversation? Because sometimes we don't actually have the time to dive in on it. Any other thoughts? Yep.
I think for me, sometimes because of the way my brain takes in information and the way that I think, I'll be hearing somebody's, what they're telling me, and I find myself thinking, okay, how did this happen? What, you know, it's like I'm thinking about all this extraneous stuff instead of
Yeah, so sometimes it's a processing thing. We're processing what they're telling us, and sometimes we need a little bit longer to kind of sort it out in our brain before we can actually figure out what question to ask. Any other thoughts?
I think I'm also sometimes scared that I'm going to, like, overstep.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask a question that's going to make them uncomfortable.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
I don't want to do that.
So, yeah. So the fear is that am I gonna ask too deep of a question or overstep how far I should go, things like that. That's the one that I'm most guilty of because of what I do for a living. So I don't think I'm going that deep until I see the person's face and it's like, oh yeah, I stepped in it. Yeah, I went too far. You know, let me back it up. You know, come back. Awesome. So we just put kind of a few things up that we just typically find that that hold us back from asking questions. So. Like Craig said, being egocentric, so you're just wanting to talk about yourself. You don't really care what the other person thinks or what, you know, what they're going to do. Being overconfident, I know it all. I don't need to ask anything. I know everything. I got it. So we can be entertainment oriented, so being afraid of getting boring answers or something along that line. Being afraid of being viewed as rude or incompetent. Sometimes it's that we just never really understood the benefits of asking questions, so we just don't do it. Sometimes it's that we may not want to engage the person we're talking to, so we're hoping that conversation just ends and like we could just kind of move on. And then last one, what we fear, what questions they may ask us in return. So sometimes when we're asking questions, it's creating a space for vulnerability. And some people say, well, if I create that space, do I have to also be vulnerable? And that could sometimes be risky. So we try to, there's books on questions. Like there's so many books on questions. We try to kind of break it down into four categories. And so we have introductory questions, like how are you? Something that starts it off. Mirror questions, like take the question you were just asked and mirror it back. Fine, how are you? Full switch questions, so they're used to change a conversation topic altogether. And then follow-up questions, used to solicit more information. So of these, which you think is most helpful in promoting deep and close biblical fellowship? That's it. It's always the follow-up questions. What typically happens to you when you see somebody's asking a follow-up question of you? So you say something, and they basically ask something that says, tell me more. What happens to you? Yep.
Feel connected to,
yeah, feel connected to, valued, cared about. You're in it. And that's typically what we want to promote. If we want to have deep and close relationships, we need to show that we really care and that we're showing value to the other person and that we're moving the conversation in a way that gets there. So we're going to talk through seven types of follow-up questions that you can use to strengthen fellowship. The first set is questions used to initiate a conversation. So the thing which I hate about doing this is that sometimes it can feel kind of dorky or a little bit off when we're doing it this way because depending on the way that I would ask a question is depending on what I'm reading in the moment. So it may not always land, but just we're trying to give you the idea. So something like, what's on your mind lately? So, you know, what's like if you know somebody's kind of been deeper in thought. How did your week go? Have you listened to any great talks lately? How are you feeling today? Any of these just are just trying to get it going. And we have a sheet for you that we're going to use in a second where there are a bunch of these questions. What has your walk with the Lord been like? So being aware that these are more like initiators, and they're trying to kind of ask some form of how are you and trying to get way more information than just a single word positive response. And the idea is to just kind of get things going. Second is questions used to gather deeper information. So can you tell me more about what, when that happened, how did you feel? How did so-and-so react? Any of these are just kind of like, give me more details, give me more info, get me in it, paint the picture for me, and that's often super helpful. These are the questions that some of you ask, like, how do we get to that core belief that we talked about last semester? The set of questions coming up often help us to get way deeper. So a question like, what do you like, dislike about? whatever. What led you to? What happened so that? How did you decide that? How did you come to that understanding? And if you notice, I kind of blew it. I was not supposed to show you this one yet. If you notice, all of the above questions do not use the word why. Now I'm about to use it. Why do you think that is? And notice what just happened when I asked that question that way. As a hint.
What?
Yeah. So it's the craziest thing on earth. They've actually done studies where they have people in these graphs and they measure what happens in the brain when they get asked a why question. And people typically get very defensive. People usually feel like they're on the spot or being interrogated. People often feel like they have to prove something. And so oftentimes we want to avoid those questions and use any of the above that still is asking why, but it's just asking it in a different way. Because when people have the same brain machine with those questions, what they find is that people feel engaged. They actually move forward towards the person. And so I just said that. So instead of why are you wearing that, what do you like about that outfit? Notice the difference even like with those two questions, right? And so we just want to be really careful with that. Now, let's have an obvious kind of setup just so that you can get an idea for a template for how to get to the core of what somebody's sharing. And we're gonna get not to like the deepest core of somebody yet. We're just trying to set up a process that you guys can kind of follow that can happen that will use those questions. So if somebody says, hey, how you doing? Not bad, a little preoccupied. Oh, what's on your mind? So notice that question's instead of why are you preoccupied, right? I just feel like I'm at an impasse with my parenting right now. Oh, how so? Instead of why are you at an impasse, which typically creates that defensiveness. My son is struggling in math. Oh no, that's not good. Any ideas what's leading to this struggle? If you ask me, he spends way too much time playing video games. Ah, that'll do it. What do you feel like leads him to play so much? So notice we're avoiding why the whole way through, right? Well, if I'm honest, it's probably because we haven't set a limit for him. Oh yeah, sometimes kids can get carried away without our help. What led you to not set a limit for him so far? You know, instead of why aren't you setting a limit, which I think that would be in most Dominican homes that they would just like come in real sharp at that point, but we're gonna try to avoid that. Man, we were really hoping we wouldn't have to. I was hoping my son would be more responsible than that. It sounds like a letdown. Not only are his grades rough, but your expectations didn't pan out the way you hoped for. Am I off? No, that's it. To be transparent, we've struggled on and off with putting our kids on a pedestal. This seems like another case of that. So if you notice, what typically happens as you're drilling down is things just open up. So where we wind up at the end is really different than where we started. I'm a little preoccupied, right? So oftentimes in many conversations, especially at church, somebody might say that and we might give a kind of cursory answer to that or not really know how to engage it. But the idea is to keep drilling down by asking some form of why, and that typically gets us to the end where they feel like they're met, we get them, those kinds of things are happening. Any questions? You good with this? All right. So let's keep going. So let's break into our triads. Once again, no family members together, no couples together, especially those that are holding each other tightly from this colder room. What we want to do is take turns practicing. One of you can ask questions, another one can be answering questions, a third one can be giving feedback. And let's just try this for 6 minutes, so 2 minutes per round. And just start with the question, what is keeping you from going after more fellowship? All righty. We just wanted you guys to have a taste for that. We're actually going to practice this again, not just today, but at another time. But we just wanted to give you a taste for it so that you start reorienting how you think about drilling deeper. Next set of questions actually help us to do it more, to go deeper as well. So questions used for to clarify. So oftentimes somebody, when they're talking, we don't fully understand everything that they're saying. We don't want to let that go by. You actually want to say, hey, wait, I'm not quite getting what you're saying right now. Help me to understand what you mean by, and then fill in the blank. Another one is when you like are not sure, so then you repeat back what you hear them say. I hear you're saying X, Y, Z, am I off? Gives them a chance to say yes, no, maybe so. What did you mean by whatever? When you said X, Y, Z, I initially thought you meant, but is this what you mean, or do you, I'm sensing that you're probably saying something else. Any of this are kind of questions used to clarify that we really want to keep going. Now, once you've clarified, once you got to that point where you know you're connected and you're ready to kind of create some movement, help them move towards action, you might want to start saying, like, what if scenario? So what would happen if? What would you do if? How else might you? What's stopping you from? What have you tried so far? What's one step you can do in less than a minute? Now, the idea with these, some of these might be leading questions and kind of suggestion questions, which you're going to learn eventually. We don't necessarily want to lead with those. Those are questions, the suggestion questions should come after you ask things like, what have you tried so far? What's something you can do? Asking them to generate the answers is usually better than us giving it to someone, even our friends, because then they'll fully own it. Usually they'll do it, and it really works so much better. There's sometimes questions that we need to use in order to simplify things. So somebody like me can sometimes overcomplicate something. And sometimes what I notice my coach does with me is he tries to get me to simplify what I just came up with because it's too much of an elaborate plan. So of everything you just said, what's the most important to you right now? So notice if somebody's like saying there's so much stuff and I'm overwhelmed and right? Sounds like my weekly coaching session with my coach, right? Usually what he's trying to say is he's trying to hone in on what's the piece you can actually execute on. If you could snap your fingers and come up with the ideal scenario, what would that look like? Anything that helps you to do that is great. One of the final things that you'll probably do in the discussion at some point is ask a question that leads to commitment. And the commitment means to move towards some action. So what this often prevents is some of us might know people that love being a victim and they don't want to heal. What they want to do is they want to talk your ear off forever because they want attention. And it's not bad that they want attention. They're just going after getting attention in an unhealthy way. It's almost like a trap. And so sometimes when we start asking questions, like once you've connected, once you've kind of gone through things, and start asking questions like, what are you planning to do? How are you going to whatever? What kind of help will you need? How will you know if you've succeeded? These questions inherently inspire motivation to move. And oftentimes, whether I'm coaching or counseling, I'm trying to help my clients take action. I want to see a tangible result. And if it's a friend of mine, if it's my wife, my children, somewhere along that line, same deal. Let's move. Let's do something. So a few other general tips. You want to ask one question at a time. So sometimes what will happen is you'll ask a question, and then you'll think you can make it better, and you ask a second question. What inevitably is true is your first question was the best one. The second one actually confused the daylights out of the other person. Stick to the first one. If the first one, if the person doesn't understand that first question, then ask the second one. But let them tell you that. Instead, just stick with the first one. Second, keep a light and casual tone. So oftentimes we want to kind of mirror and match. But if someone's in a dark place, you want to meet them where they are and then move it up a notch. So not too much, but just move it up a notch. Because oftentimes once the person feels connected and they're in a dark place, you moving it up a notch leads them to usually want to match you. Then you move it up another notch, they match you. You move it up another notch. And just by setting pace with your light and casual tone, that can happen really well. If you're finding yourself like just asking question after question after question, stop, because usually your friend at this point is feeling like, you know, there's going to be a bright light staring them in the face and they're expecting the water to, you know, be withheld and, you know, food to be withheld at any moment. So sometimes what we do if it starts feeling like an interrogation is you can very quickly share a story about you and how whatever it is that's going on and just relate it back to you. No longer than 30 seconds to a minute. So don't dominate it. Just 30 seconds to a minute. Show them you're human. Stop yourself from interrogating, and then you can get back in. Next things, you want to make sure that when you phrase tough questions, that must have been terrible for you. Yeah, people will be more vulnerable if they see you've covered it for them. So in other words, if that's where they are, match. But the idea is to start helping them come out of it. And then always give an out. I'm totally curious. If you don't want to answer, no worries at all. So this is often one that I'll use with a client when it's early, or with a friend when we're just starting to develop a friendship. It's kind of like, I know I can have the tendency of going deep fast. And so what I try to do is give my client an out, or give my friend an out. If you don't want to answer, this is totally cool. I want you to feel comfortable and keep going. But hopefully we're taking our time with that. Now we're going to practice you can stick with the same groups for 15 minutes. What we're going to do is we're going to have an open conversation where we're going to practice listening, connecting, and asking powerful questions. One participant, please observe and give feedback on the questions. Switch every 5 minutes. You could talk about anything. So an easy one to talk about might be what happened today. What was your day like? Or if there is something you're actually going through and you feel comfortable sharing that in your group, go for it. I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling whatever it is, it is. Go to the level of depth that you feel comfortable going with. Don't go any further than that. You know, we don't have to have everything solved as we only have 5 minutes each to do this in. So just choose something that can be constructive. Why don't you guys get going? And then I'll tell you when time is up. And don't hesitate to use your sheets. All righty. What questions do we have? So tonight was about giving you a taste for this. We're going to smooth it out, give you a better chance, and then you're going to see you're going to get this without an issue. What questions do we have? Yep.
Well, we were just asking like how year.
Oh no! What I mean is, do you have any questions about the material that I just asked?
No.
Oh, he's an expert. Come on. He's teaching next time. Would I recommend calling this out? Wait, I've got some questions. Wait. not quite. Basic idea with this is that you always want to kind of, like, if you notice, the why questions are designed to go deeper. You just don't want to phrase it by starting with the word why, because then it turns into an interrogation. And so literally what you're constantly kind of referring back to is why. Why this, why that, and eventually it's going to land. And usually you know it's land because it just broadened out. And they usually talk about a bunch of other things that I mean, you could see their life through something that they're saying. So it started really small, then it got really large. And then what's the coolest thing on earth is usually they solve it on their own. But they thank you profusely for it, which is the crazy part. And when you see that happening over and over and over again, you know you got the system down. And that's part of it. All right. Yes, sir.
I find that I sort of have misunderstanding, I think. I was afraid that it started out with the assumption that all of the people around us had some deep, dark, secret problem that we were trying to help them with. And as we got into this exercise, people are talking about some things that are triumphs, about things that that are going on in their life that they're not bad things. It's, but this helped me realize that that initial thought that I had that this was about people in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's useful for that.
Oh, it is.
It's useful for just kicking back and being friends with people.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing we especially want you to get from this, is that biblical fellowship isn't just about here's where I sin, now help me not to sin there. That's not it. Biblical fellowship is way broader than that, because it's based on a relationship with Christ. And so there's going to be hopefully a ton and even more discussion around what we're getting from our times with him, how we're, you know, what's going on that's leading to growth. Those kinds of things are really powerful things. And when we see the beliefs behind that, it's really, really cool. It's really, really cool. And so, yes, we definitely don't want it to just be on the negative. We're using examples for the negative because this is often the easiest way for people to see it, get it, and see how they're going to be helpful. But it should go in both directions. Yes?
I think there is really a big difference between using why.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So I stopped using the word why.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
I would say, what made you think?
That's it. What led to this? What led to that? Exactly. That's it. That's what we want you to get. So the biggest thing we want you to get is avoid using why unless you mean to interrogate. It's because literally the person will typically get defensive. And then the other thing that study showed is that people come up with far less answers when the question's asked why versus something without why. They'll actually think of better answers when they get it the other way, because they don't feel like they have to answer correctly, and that frees them. That's great. Yes, sir.
That is why I think you said you want to be blocked. I'm learning a lot at ESL.
Yeah.
Every week we go to ESL and we meet people. Like last week we were here only for 4 weeks. I said, what made you come here?
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, the what question. So he just said that from ESL, he's learning that when people are new, it's better to ask a what question than a why question. And so what brought you here is better than why did you come here? Well, I won't come here anymore. You know, especially if that's the way it's going to be treated here. Anything else before we close? All right. Yes.
Articulate what I want to say here, but I've had instances where there were opportunities to speak truth in people's lives.
Yeah.
And one person took it well, the other person shouldn't take it well, but she's a really good friend and was just like, but it's still really hard.
Yeah.
Like, reminding her of the truth, but it was like that wasn't the right time. I mean, she knew that,
yeah.
But she still wanted it to be verified that what
yeah.
she was.
I love it.
What,
yeah. Right.
It wasn't like a in your face yeah. or down your throat kind of thing. It was just a kind of like remind you. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I know you already know that.
Yeah.
You know? But how do you? I don't know. Anyway.
Fantastic question. So what she said was that she was talking to two friends. Both of them wanted to hear some truth. One took it really well. The other one didn't. The one who didn't take it well said something to the effect of, this is still really hard. So if you notice that statement, basically what she's saying is I still feel alone in my pain. It's still hard, right? So usually what I just do is I just say, man, I'm sorry I stepped too fast. Tell me more about what makes this especially hard for you. And I use whatever word they use and ask for a descriptor of that word. And because I've used their word, they feel like I'm connecting. And then they usually keep going deeper. So one of the hard things about this is that truth is really good, and we are living life based on truth, hopefully, and we're trying to align ourselves. The problem is are we ready to receive truth? And that's the issue. So a lot of times we're doing the connection piece almost like we're trying to plant the ground and make the ground ready for the truth. And typically what we find is that people will not receive the truth if they feel alone. What they feel usually is condemned, almost like, you dummy. And we're not even saying that or trying to say that, but that's sometimes the way it's being heard. And so what a person can, especially if they struggle with shame, then they're really going to feel that. And so the idea is to connect. When we sense it's like, oh yeah, we're there, then ask, can I share something I'm noticing? And sometimes if you sense a hesitation, say, oh, I don't have to share it, I don't have to go there now. But usually once they feel connected, they're usually like, yes, I really want to hear it. And then even if you say something that's totally wrong, they're usually grateful because they're sensing you're trying to help. They can see your heart intent in that. Unfortunately, if we do it too soon, they usually misread our own hearts because they're feeling so defensive. And so it is definitely something that's a practice make perfect thing, for sure. Fantastic question. It's the most critical by far.
They have to know that before they receive.
And if we want an example of that, look at Job. The three friends did a brilliant job before they opened their mouths. Brilliant. 7 days and seven nights in silence, just empathizing, men empathizing with a man. And then when Job speaks, it's like he's already at this depth. He's like hitting the core of it right away. Why? The empathy was so strong. But then once we see Eliphaz jumps in for two chapters, by chapter six, so we have this great moment in chapter three where Job's pouring out his heart. By chapter six, he's calling them worthless friends. It's like, man, I just spent 7 days with you. What are you talking about? I mean, it's like, I left my wife back there, you know? It's like, throw me a bone. But that's what I see. That is what I see. And when I'm working with couples, and if like we're doing this like a couple therapy or a couples coaching, oftentimes that's where the breakdown is somebody shared truth too fast. And they're usually on the money when they say it. I'm usually like, ooh, that's so true, but he's going to be so angry right now. And then, and so we just have to be careful. Anything else? Awesome. Carlton, who snuck in, please, could you close us in prayer? Yeah.